Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, that's after 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is May the 12th, 2024, it is the 5th day of Sivan, 2028. We will start our first service today with song and prayer thought. Will go on, and then we'll do a sermon entitled the book is The World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, and it's by Vicki Hollis. It's track number 12 for those that are following along in the Shepherd Rod, and it says, as we are living in a time in which we can expect anything but be sure of nothing, therefore all, including alike statesmen, diplomats, and militarists, will doubtless be surprised at just what will emerge from the present European conflict. At this moment, 1941, Hitler's dread legions are continuing their inexorable drive upon the world's mistress of the seas, and so far nothing has been able to withstand the fury of their onslaught, with the result that Europe stands in the terrified amazement, and the whole world and the alarmed wonderment at what is ahead, willing as was Nebuchadnezzar in his day to give almost anything to know that Yahweh alone knows the future. For the wise men of today can no more tell the future than could the wise men of the prophet Daniel in the Daniel time, Daniel 2. If you think this is an extravagant statement, then meet the challenge and produce your cause, saith the Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of the Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they do, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, Isaiah 41:21-23. For the one who foretold the rise and fall of the Babylon and of the nations succeeding it is as the only one who knows what will be the outcome of the present distress of the nations, Luke 21:25. For the light then on this momentous question now uppermost in every rational mind, we turn unto the Yahweh of the prophets, who bids us look unto the writings of his ancient seers. There, all the world events that concern his son, Isaiah 45:11, are foretold in the pictorial mode. Okay, for the world's history and the prophecy is recorded first in the literal terms, second, in the parabolical terms, and third, in the typical terms, and fourth, in the pictorial terms. for the sake of the brevity and in the interest of the facilitating comprehension, precluding the possibility of the sidetracking, the silent messenger presents its message in the pictorial mode. For the kingdoms that have gone down, all the kingdoms that still exist. Now let's say again, for the kingdoms that have gone down, and the kingdoms that still exist, and the kingdoms that are yet to come, whose legislation involved Yahweh's people, have been pictorially chronicled by both Daniel and John, the Revelator. Now, in order that even the most skeptical and unbelieving mind be persuaded, the subject matter of this tract is introduced with the symbolism whose prophetic import has already become history. A lion, a bear, a leopard, and a nondescript beast are the four beasts depicted here by the Daniel. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by the night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, a diverse one from another. For the first was like a lion, and had the eagle's wings. I beheld, though the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from this earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on the one side, and it had the three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, for the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up strong among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7, 2 to 8. These are four great beasts, said the angel, are the four kings which shall arise out of the earth, Daniel 7, 17. Prior to the Daniel's vision of these beasts, Nebuchadnezzar's king of the ancient Babylon, while in a quandary as for the duration of his kingdom, was shown in a dream of a great image composed of the four metals, for his head was of the gold, his breast and arms were of the silver, his thighs of the brass, his legs of the iron, and his feet of the iron mixed with the mire of clay. Interpreting the vision, Daniel said unto the king, Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee, and another third kingdom of the brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the polished clay, and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the mire of clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the mire of clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one unto another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. And in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:38-44. Now this kingdom has already come into existence with the Elijah David pointed out since 2002, as succeeding the kingdom of Gilead Center at Kermit, Texas, and Boris Johnson was in charge of. That the Boris Johnson was in charge of. And so this everlasting kingdom now, it's got life. So it's got prophecy that has already brought it into being. Plainly the four metals of the great image symbolize as do the four beasts, a succession of the four kings and their respective periods. Now notice that each one of these here beasts, they had a real king that ruled over them. The feet, right and left of iron and clay, obviously represent two divisions of the king, rightest and leftest, in a fifth period, the time in which the Yahweh of the heavens shall set up a kingdom. Now this fifth period, that's the period that we're in now, since with the fifth movement of the prayer of Matthew 20, verses 1 through 6, with that fifth movement, we're in that fifth period that started in 2002, and that's the judgment of the living period at the 12th parabolic hour. And a fifth period, the time in which the Yahweh of the heavens shall set up a kingdom. This a kingdom is this a kingdom of antithetical David. That's the kingdom that he has placed this in charge of, which shall never be destroyed. Now this kingdom is never going to be destroyed, for the toes of the feet indicate of a multiplicity of kings and of both parties, the righteous and the leftist. And another symbolism, a ram and a three-faced goat. Daniel saw that the goat in its first phase, that of the great horn, as the king of Grisha trampled down that the ram may be in prison, and that after the great horn broke off Alexander's passing away, four horns came up in its stead, for the kingdom divided into the four parts, and that finally from one of the four came a fifth, the exceedingly great horn. Now this fifth also goes with that number fifth we read it to earlier about this fifth kingdom in the last days. That's when these two fifths are going to come together. Some think that the everlasting great horn, as the fifth symbolizes the Antiochus, who ruled one of the four divisions, but this cannot be because the exceeding great horns coming out of the one of the four symbolizes a fifth kingdom. Now, and that's the kingdom that we represent today, is kingdom pointed out in Daniel 2, 44 and 45, and the days of these kings shall Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed up to other people, but it shall grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. So we represent this kingdom. We're in the mercy seat right now, says the fifth kingdom, not one of the four extent. Moreover, the term exceeding great is in the contrast to the term great. He knows a greater kingdom than the Alexander's and his Antiochus kingdom, and its greatness was not half so great as the Alexander's. The theory is discredited, for the Roman Empire and the one that was much greater than, for the Roman Empire is as the one that was much greater than the Alexander's, and there for it alone answers to the symbolism, and the going is south, then east, then on toward the present land. The west, that is Palestine. It necessarily went toward the four corners of the compass, which is just what Rome did. Daniel 8:9 says that the exceeding great horn came out of one of the four horns of the goat, but does not tell out of which one. Daniel 11:5, however, explains that one of the princes of the kingdom of the south was to have a great dominion. For this prince, therefore, is symbolized by the exceeding great horn, and shows that it came from the horn which symbolized the Ptolemaic dynasty. That would be an Arab dynasty there in Egypt, the southern division. Here is shown what history fails to chronicle concerning the origin of pagan Rome. Now we see that though in Daniel 2 and 7, the names of the kings are not made known, they are revealed in the Daniel 8, and as Daniel 2 and 8 collaborates Daniel 7, it follows that the four metals of the great image and the four great beasts are symbolical of the four ancient empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and pagan Rome, respectively. For the following four maps show that the history corroborates prophecy. Map 4 for the feet and toes of the image of Daniel 2, being a mixture of the iron and clay, forecast an empire which cannot cleave together. The day, according the clay caused it to break into the parts and his separate kingdoms, some large, some small, partly strong and partly broken. Obviously, this scripture describes the present family of the kings and their intermarried state, mingled with the seed of men, coming as a result of the crumbling of the pagan Rome. They make a fifth and most apartheid empire. Thus, this prophetic picture clearly foretells that the rulers of today unable to plead one to another, Daniel 2:42-43, are doomed to continue for the continual rupture and hostilities among themselves. Map 5 shows that the modern divisions prior unto the World War II of the ancient world, as widely accepted as the fourth beast's two phases, one with the 10 horns, the other with the 7 horns, along with the little horn, Daniel 7:7-8, portrays first pagan Rome and second ecclesiastical Rome. And the little horn, the horn head, is the power that then rule was religious and political. For these four beasts coincide respectively with the gold, silver, brass, and iron of the great image. And this prophetic four beast symbolism, along with the historical fulfillment, we see the passing political events and the consequent changing of the political status of the world from the time of the ancient Babylon on down until the time of the Christianized Rome. For the great image, however, brings us down until the present, in which we find ourselves ruled by the Tolkien. But as the Daniel series of the beast delineates, but a part of the world's history, another series is necessary for the completing it, for the only other such series is in the Revelation, for the first symbol in which is with the first symbol and which is the leopard-like beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his crowns the name of the blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of the bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against the Yahweh for the blaspheming of his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, he that leadeth into the captivity, shall go into the captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Revelation 13:1-10. For the composite makeup of this beast, mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and 10 horns, and the faithful is as a faithful witness that he is a descendant of the Babylon, the lion, Medo-Persia, the bear, Grecia, the leopard, and pagan Rome, the 10 horns. Hence this beast is the melting pot of the 4 ancient world empires and must, along with its 7 heads and 10 crowned horns, characterize the world of today. For the beast 42-month period fall in the time of the ecclesiastical Rome in as empire after the pagan Rome, whereas that was the 5th one too, that was the 5th empire. It ruined the state. Revelation 13:3 symbolizes a herd during the present period, during the Dark Ages, from 538 to 1798. Moreover, the beast represents 3 periods. Number 1, the period prior unto the ruin of the state. Number 2, the period during its wound. And number 3, the period in which its wound is healed. Furthermore, this symbolization shows that the inspiration reckons the present world still a Roman world. This we know from the several angles, the first of which is in the fact that the beast 42-month period parallels that of the little horn's time, 12 months, times 24 months, and dividing of the time, 6 months, for the work against Yahweh and his people, and both the record is 42 months long. For the horns of the nondescript beast, having no crowns, and the horns of the leopard-like beast, having crowns, points out that the latter symbolizes the world after the crownless horns kings that were to arise in the 724 of the former beast were crowned. Now, as we have seen, it is clear that the ecclesiastical Rome, as the second phase of the nondescript beast, was and is a combined church and state power, a horn head having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7:8, and that the Protestant Reformation caused the separation of the two. So while the ecclesiastical Rome's rise and reign are prefigured by the nondescript beast's horn head, her downfall is depicted by the leopard-like beast's wounded common head, the horn part, the civil power, having been taken away. The church was stripped of the sovereign power with which the state had clothed her, with the result that the governments are now independent of the church, which is the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is in the subjection to the governments. For it being true that the wounded head symbolizes a religious body, and that there is no distinction in the appearance between the wounded head and the uninjured head from the fundamental truth is that they all are figures of the religious body. Moreover, as these symbolical prophecies deal with the Western civilization, the home of the Christendom, the heads definitely characterize the Christian denomination, or Protestant denominations, just as do the seven churches of the Asia, Revelation 2, for the one difference being that the churches of the Asia perhaps cover a longer period of the time than do the heads. Furthermore, whereas the beast receiving the deadly wound pictures Christianized Rome, humiliated unto death, deprived of her civil power, as recovering from the wound pictures her exalted unto the life again, having regained her civil power, and as the wound was inflicted by the hand of the Reformation, it could never have healed had the hand continued wielding at it the sharp two-edged sword. The healing, therefore, vividly depicts the fall of the Protestantism and the rise of the despotism. Though there is but one right interpretation of each Bible doctrine, yet a multitude of the conflicting interpretations are in the Christian world today, with the result that it is split into many sects and schisms, that is, heads, with no two believing alike. Therein lies the decisive evidence that these churches are diverse of the Holy Spirit and are running ahead in the darkness because of the profession to teach the truth, but teaching instead the doctrines and commandments of men. They are reproved by the having the name of blasphemy written over their heads, Revelation 13:1. Even now, in the closing hours of the gospel period, the church says, I am rich and increased with the goods and have need of the nothing. This is the Adventist church. Neither truth nor prophets, though in fact she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:16-17. And about to be spewed out if she fails now to anoint her eyes with this fresh extra oil. And being unmindful of her wretched condition, she is now ready not only to reject the last message that comes to her with a warning and reproof just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, but also again to crucify the Savior should he and the person rebuke her, thereby repeating her rebelliousness of old, as symbolized by the Moses striking the rock twice, Numbers 20, verse 11. Detail by detail, we are thus far and able to see that the healing of the wound is indicative not only of the church's failing to carry the Protestant Reformation to the completion, but also of the world governments soon reverting unto the despotic principle of the rock of the Dark Ages, to the rule of the ash of action before the wound was inflicted. This repetition of the past is to be brought about by the two-horned beast, and that represents the United States government as we have it today. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, as in prophecy of the United States. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, as like Nebuchadnezzar did in his day, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:11-18. For the power that is represented by this two-horned beast will identify itself with the false prophet, for together they are cast alive into a lake of the fire. Revelation 19:20. From this it is plain to see that the wonders which the beast does in the sight of men, and by which he deceives them that dwell on the earth, Revelation 13:13-14, are wrought by the false prophet, Revelation 19:20. In the sight of the beast, Revelation 13:14, truly then, the beast's evil authority combined with the prophet's supernatural power points unto a union of the beast and prophet, and affiliating of the state and of the church representatives. Having only two horns, not ten, the beast therefore depicts a local, not a universal government. Nevertheless, he will influence all of Christendom to make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. That is, he will engineer a worldwide governmental setup, re-employing the principles of the church-like state, church-state rule of the ecclesiastical Rome during the Dark Ages from 538 to 1798, being the restorer of these principles, he along with the prophet will become the world's chief dictator and shape not only the political and the religious policies of the governments but also the world's commerce. He shall decree that no man might by ourselves, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:17. This beast represents a man who stands at the head of a nation. Okay, so we got Biden fulfilling this right now, President Biden of the United States, and his influence goes far and wide among the kings of the earth. He is further identified by a number, the mystical number, 606, Revelation 13:18. For the prevailing belief that the number 666 is the numerical identification of some other power is the spawn of the prince of the darkness, and is calculated for the concealing, if possible, the identification of this two-horned power, for the inspiration puts the number on the two-horned beast, and there we must leave it. When the number is finally made up, the servants of Yahweh will be able to convince all of the wise as to just whom the beast symbolizes. We now see, though, that no one who studies the word of Yahweh need be deceived when this power does appear on the stage of the action, yet notwithstanding Yahweh's warning against giving allegiance unto the beast, the world fails to give a heed, with the result that even after his number is made up, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Revelation 13:16. Okay, it says, for the passage, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, he knows that all who, after hearing the truth, continue to pay homage, either religiously or secretly, to the image, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without the mixture, into the cup of his indignation. Revelation 14:9-10. A full realization of the glorious reward that awaits mankind will even now compel men to shout for the joy and the life realization of the dreadful penalty that awaits all who fail for the making of the Yahweh the refuge will cause them even now to weep and gnash their teeth, that all might realistically see these alternative prospects and be impelled thereby to the repentance. For the Yahweh has been of the supreme pains, and not only to record a graphic description of the evil, which through the instrumentality of the beast, Satan has determined upon the whole world, but also aforehand to make of a similar evil a perfect type of the image of the beast. For the type was struck when Nebuchadnezzar, as a king, made an image of the gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the provinces to come unto the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Okay, then Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, sounds and languages. No, nations and languages. That's it. Then Herod cried aloud, unto you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sax, but the psaltery, the Deva Sana, and all kinds of the music, you fall down and worship the golden image of the Nebuchadnezzar. The king has set up, and he falleth not down and worships, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fire furnace. Daniel 3:1-6. And the outworking of this drastic and unrighteous decree, there are three outstanding aspects. The first warningly reveals the manner in which the beast will compel all the nations and peoples within his dominion to worship him and the image which he shall make. The second sustainably promises that just as in the Nebuchadnezzar's day, Michael delivered and promoted those who refused to worship the golden image, Daniel 3:12. So today, will he deliver and promote all who refuse to worship the beast and his image? And the third glorifyingly reveals that just as all who then stood faithful led a multitude of both high and low to acknowledge him as the Most High Yahweh, so today will all who heed the warning not to worship the beast or his image shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:1-3. Hand in hand with the history, the more sure word of the prophecy, having led us symbol by the symbol down through the empires, beginning with the ancient Babylon, and down into the present state of rule of sectarian world, will certainly lead us through to the end of time. We are therefore confronted with the logical necessity of another beast symbol, one predicting the religious political world of tomorrow without a symbolism to carry us beyond the world of today. The prophetic word of the Yahweh would be incomplete. So for the sake of the logic and continuity and completeness, this succession of the beast symbolism must include another beast, one which in the particular is to unveil the world of tomorrow, as the only such symbol remaining is the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation 17, driven by Babylon the Great. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of the blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Yahshua, and when I saw her, I wondered with a great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven horns and ten, or seven heads and ten horns. For the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of Abominable's pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom, for the seven hands are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kingdoms, or there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not. Not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have the one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, then the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with the fire. For Yahweh hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give the kingdom unto the beast until the words of Yahweh shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Revelation 7:10. Where it says, now, from the manifest similarity between the leopard-like beast and the scarlet-colored beast, one should recognize that the latter is the image of the former. His deadly wound having been healed, and his horns uncrowned, the crownless horns of the latter show that he represents the world at a time in which there are no crowned kings, but that instead the world is ruled by an ecclesiastical head. The woman that drives the beast. Moreover, the statement, the ten horns are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, that receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, Revelation 17:12, positively imports that the crowned kingdoms of today, which emerge from the fallen Rome, and which are represented by the crowned horns of the leopard-like beast, will be uncrowned, dethroned. For the crownless horns of the scarlet-colored beast, moreover, have the one mind, and give their power and strength unto the beast. Verse 13 of Revelation 17. While the woman reigneth over the kings of the earth, verse 18, who is sitting on the heads, verse 9, denotes that she is to control the churches. And her driving the beast denotes that she is to be the sovereign of the world. This system of the worship and reign is not a new thing under the sun, for in her was found the blood of the prophet and of the saint and of all that was slain upon the earth. Revelation 18:24. She is therefore rightly called Babylon, the name of the oldest, the first world empire, the type for this antithetical Babylon from which Yahweh's people at this time are to be called out, is even monopolized the world commerce as is clearly revealed in the prediction that when her reign ends, then shall the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore, or the merchandise with the merchandise of the gold and the silver and precious stone, and of the pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of the most precious wood and of the beast and iron. Are the brass and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and the beast, and sheep, and horns, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. For the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in the fine linen and purple, and scarlet, and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearl, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught." And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her torment, of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city," and that would be Babylon, "wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea by the reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate." Revelation 8, and that's in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. Revelation 18, verse 11 to 13, and 15 to 19. So shortly after the set up, this federation of the church and state will be plunged headlong into oblivion, even as a great millstone that is cast into the sea, verse 21, and the cry of her mourners shall be, "In 1 hour so great riches has come to naught," Revelation 17:12, Revelation 18:10 and 17. "For this hour, which brings the death throes of Babylon, can be none other than that which, according unto Yahshua's parable, Matthew 20, verse 11 to 16, is the last parabolical hour," that's the 12th hour that we're in now, "period of the day, probationary time," that's John 11, 9, that is from the 11th, from the end of the 11th hour call for labors that took place in 2002 in Germany, to work in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, for the labors, the last message to the world, Malachi 4, 5, to the 12th four sunset ancient time period, the end of the day, the close of the gospel period, Matthew 24, 14, the close of the harvest, Jeremiah 8, 20, the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, for the 10 horns of the scarlet colored beast, the rulers which she dominates for an hour, ultimately shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, Revelation 17:16. And thus, at the length, they shall unseat her forever, and the system which she symbolizes, the image of the beast, shall be demolished. At this resounding crash of the Babylon, the kings of the earth shall bewail her and lament for her, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, Revelation 18, 9 and 10, for the lamentation of the king's sheriff, that they are sympathetic toward her, while their horns hate her. The kings therefore cannot be those who are symbolized by the beast's crownless horns, but rather those who are symbolized by the crowned horns of the leopard-like beast, for they are the crowned king who arose after the fall of the pagan Rome and who are now speedily going into exile. For the identity of the Babylon being a much mooted subject among the students of the Revelation, there arises therefore the necessity of the ascertaining whom does the Babylon personify. This brings in our 50th hour contact just at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now.
Trumpet of the Yah shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, broad and fair. When the sailors shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let that in countless morning, when the dead in Yahshua shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection shed, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and the work on earth is done, then the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.